Acts chapter number 2, aren't you thankful that he is undefeated? He's undefeatable. He's won the victory. Praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter number 2. This morning there's a lot of things that I'd like to go over, a lot of things I'd like to teach, and I don't want to take all day, obviously, so we do have the PowerPoint on today to help you because there's a lot of different verses we're going to look at. And the question is, church, why is it so important? And it is important. There are a lot of people have lots of different ideas what church is supposed to be and what church is all about. This morning, I'd like to look at this and focus in a little bit why it's important to be part of a church family, but we'll get to that point here in just a little while. But church, why is it so important? There was a poem. It's not really a poem because it's one of those that don't rhyme. And I always thought poems are supposed to rhyme, but they call it a poem. It's not supposed to rhyme. It's supposed to rhyme, but it was really good, and I enjoy it. It's called There Shall Be a Place. And there's a verse that begins with this. It's Deuteronomy 12:11. Says, "Then there shall be a place which the Lord God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there." And that was talking about the nation of Israel, but also now is referring to the house of God, the church. Here's the way it's entitled, the poem goes. In a world of darkness, there should be a place where one can go to find the light of life. There should be a place where the seeking can find understanding, the hungry hearted can find manna from above, and those bound by sin's chains can be set free. With volume and vice on every hand, there should be a place providing the refuge for the weary soul. There should be a place where holy things are still holy, and the worship of God goes beyond a cheap imitation of what the world already offers. There should be a place of sacredness, sanctuary, and service in a world that is profane and self-absorbed. This place should be a place where God is still great, and his ways are higher than our ways. A place where thanksgiving translates into thanksgiving. A place where Christ is high and lifted up, and the scriptures are sufficient. Is there such a place to be found? Are there such blessings to be had? Where should we look? What should we expect? How shall we know? There is a place for all the above. According to 1 Timothy 3:15, it is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, church is not just it's not a social hall. It's not just a place to meet with friends. Church is a place that Christ is the head. Christ has bought it with his own blood, and it has a purpose to it. And this morning, as we think about this, I will hopefully we can get to this understanding and this point, why we should all be part of a church family. Let's look here in Acts chapter number 2, verses 41 through 47. You have the beginning of the first century church here. And you see what they did in the first century church. And we're not going to spend much time here, but we want to jump off looking at what the church was like at the beginning here in Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." To give you a little commentary what's going on here, this is the day of Pentecost. This is the day when Peter stood up and preached the word of God with the other disciples, and thousands were saved. And you see what happens here. It says, then they that gladly received his word and were baptized. Talking about gladly receiving his words, there is a presentation of the gospel that had happened. It talked about how Jesus Christ had died and he was buried and he rose again, and how you could put your faith and trust in him to be able to go to heaven. This morning, if you're here and you're not sure about salvation, you have not gladly received his word yet. You have not heard the truth of the gospel and put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sins and asked him to save you. We take this verse, and this is what makes up a church membership. A local body is when someone has received the word of God and believed and trusted in Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. They were baptized, and it says, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And it says, added unto them, is talking about the group of believers that was up in the upper room, the beginning of the church that was up there. That began, I believe, with Jesus Christ, was empowered by the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. And you have them, they were added to that group, but added to that local body of believers. Verse 42, and you see how they acted as they first century church, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. Now, this is a wonderful story. We see this first century church that began here in Jerusalem with this group of people. And then we see later on in the book of Acts that there is a ministry that goes out and they leave just Jerusalem. They begin planting churches all across the world, and has trickled down to this church was planted because of that first church that was planted. And what I believe a church is a local body of believers, called out believers. It's a local church. And that's what the Bible emphasizes in the New Testament, is placed upon a local church. This is a place where people gathered with a body of believers to grow, to learn, to worship, to give, and to serve. It's comprised of a regenerate membership, which means that they are Christians. They possess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're separate from the state or some type of higher power. The local church is under the direct authority of Jesus Christ himself. It's not under the authority of, I know some different religions or denominations have some hierarchy that they tell this preacher to go here, or they do different things and they work as a corporation. But I believe in the local church. That's why we're an independent Baptist church. We're under one person's authority, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He is the head of the church. Thus, the church must be autonomous, and the fact that it's outside of the control of the government does not answer to anyone but Jesus Christ. And you know what you say, and then the pastor is the under shepherd there, but the church has a real purpose. It's not just a social hall. It's not just a social gathering. It's not just a place where we come and just meet with friends. There is a purpose and a plan for the church. And there's some things that you say, church, why is it so important? The first thing I want you to think about, it's important because who is the head of the church? It's important because who the head of the church is. Who the head of the church is. We see that in Colossians 1:18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. But the Bible is telling us here that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's important because of who the head is. And it's not our church. It's not for us to decide what we think is best and what we think is right. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Not only is Jesus Christ the head of the church, he loves the church. He says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the reason why church is so important is because the one that's in charge is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ thinks it's important, thinks it's important enough to love, and thinks it's important enough to give himself for it. Next thing I want you to understand is the importance is shown in the price that was paid. The importance is shown in the price that was paid. Now, this is the thought here, is that Acts 20, verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. And this is referring to the pastors. This is a passage that is written to the pastors. Paul is talking here to the different pastors at Ephesus. He's saying, look, the Holy Spirit has, those have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, here's the thought, is that Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. It's pretty important, wouldn't you think, that he was willing to give himself, he was willing to shed his own blood, so that way we could have this local church, this institution of the church. The local church is not ours. It's his. And I know sometimes we get a little territorial, and I like to say this is my church. I like wearing shirts that have Faith Baptist Church, Elizabeth City on it. I like to call this my church home. This is where my family goes to church. This is where I enjoy my church family. I enjoy the time. I like church. I don't know about you, but I enjoy church. I enjoy the church songs. I enjoy the hymns. I enjoy the specials, the songs we heard today. That's the type of music I listen to. That's the type of music I like. I like coming to church. I like the bulletins of the church. I like, I guess, like all parts of church. I like the church family. I like we have a nursery. I like we have a junior church back there. I love the children's ministry. I like even like teen activities. I'm thankful that I don't have to do them all the time because as you get old, you get tired. But I like teen activities. I'm thankful we have a youth pastor that can have to do the teen activities. I like all the different parts of church. I like the different ministries that come from it. I love the fact that we support missionaries that go to other parts of the world. But it's not our church. It's God's church. And we are not a democracy. We are a theocracy. You know, what does that mean? That God is the one that's in charge. And I'll be honest with you, I know you say by church constitution, things happen according to a vote. Well, if you ever want to go against what the Bible says, you're going to have to find a new pastor because I'm not going by what you think. I'm going by what God thinks, right? Now, I agree that sometimes we might disagree on little things, and there are, when we purchase things, I know it's important that we take a vote and we're all in agreement. But that's what's beautiful about this church here in the first century. Look what it says in verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord. They worked together with one accord. Isn't that wonderful? They had one mindset. They knew the purpose of the church. It wasn't for entertainment, but instead it was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they broke bread together. They were in singleness of heart. You see that at the end of verse number 46? They did things with gladness. They praised God. I mean, those are things. It's important to understand this. Now, I also know that no church is perfect. Spurgeon said it. I love the way Spurgeon says this. And he it's a quote. He says, if I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I should have never joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it. For it would now have been a perfect church after it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us. And I know that's a lot of words because, you know, he's talking that old English grammar. He's saying, look, there is no perfect church. And if I spent my whole life looking for the perfect one, the moment I join, guess what? It's not perfect anymore because I'm joining it and I'm not perfect. But it is still the dearest place on earth to those that are believers. Church, the house of God, church family. Now, I've been recently, in the last few months, I had people asking about joining the church and asking what's it mean to be a church member. And I remember when I was a youth pastor here, probably about 8 years ago, I had a young man come up and ask me a question. He says, why do you have to join a church? I don't understand what the importance of joining a church. If you're a Christian and you're baptized and you are attending a church, what's the big deal? And you know what? I began thinking about that. I thought the young man was just questioning something the church did and didn't think it was that important and just wasn't really looking for an answer, but instead kind of scoffing at it. But he said, no, I'm sincere. Why should a person join a church? And after doing some studying and looking and working and that this past few months, I've been talking to some individuals about joining the church. I came up with some different things and something I presented to a couple of them to help them understand. And I thought it'd be good to present it to our church. And on Wednesday nights, we're going to talk a little bit about the church for a few weeks. And I thought, well, this message is good for people that are maybe not members of a church or maybe that doesn't come on a regular basis. So that's why we penciled this in for Sunday morning. And I think it's something that we can leave rejoicing if you're a member of the church family and excited about what you can do and what you can do to be a part. But also for those that are maybe visiting or those that are not members yet or understanding why church membership is important. Some insist that membership is just a technicality. They don't see much difference between attendance and membership. Some can argue that they can worship God on their own way. They can be disconnected from a church family. They can feel qualified to invent their own definition of their own church, and they can attempt to release themselves from the responsibility and authority of church. And I don't know about you. You ever seen that? People are going through my mind that look at the trees and say, I can worship God out here. And you know what? I do too. I go out and sometimes I take a walk and I praise the Lord and worship here. But, you know, I can't have church. I can't fellowship with other believers. I can't do what the local body believers there. I can't do that all by myself out in the trees. I can have my private time of worshiping and praising God. But there is a called out body of believers. Why is it important that you join a church? Simply put, membership is making a commitment. It's a commitment to a body of doctrine, a body of people, and the body of Christ. To become a member is to join arms with others of like faith and to join God in his redemptive work in this world. It's the idea here that you're saying, hey, look, I agree with this church doctrine, and we have what's called a constitution or bylaws or a mission statement, whatever you want to call it, that has, when the church began, it sat down and said, this is what we want our church to stand for. This is what we want our church to believe. And then when someone joins, they're saying they're in agreement to the things that they've read there, and that's it. We want to join together with this church. We like this church. We like the people here. But it's more than that. It's stepping out and saying, hey, look, I want to join up with this local body, and I want to become a part of this to be able to join together to do the work of God with like-minded believers. Praise the Lord for that we can work together for the cause of Jesus Christ. So why is it important you join the church? And here's some different things. There's quite a few, so we'll go through them quickly, that I think are benefits of church memberships, or why it's important you join. First, it gives me an environment in which to grow spiritually. It gives me an environment in which to grow spiritually. Say, why should I be a part of a church? Why should I be a member of a church? Why should I be part of a church family? It gives you a spot to grow spiritually. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, in verses 24 and 25, says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It's saying inside your church family here, you have people that may annoy you when you're away from God, that comes up to you and encourages you, provokes you to, hey, we missed you. Hey, all right, what are you reading in your Bible? Hey, you know, the people that are going to provoke you and encourage you unto love and to good works. They want to see you grow in the Lord. They want to see you do what's right. They want to see you live for God. Part of a church family, they will come alongside and they will encourage you. If you don't show up, they're going to call you because they miss you, because they love you. Not because, well, it shouldn't be because they're trying to find dirt out about you. It shouldn't be because they're trying to rub something in your face. No, it's because they love you. Just like if you have your own family and you got your own physical family there, then they're trying to encourage you to do what's right. They're trying to encourage you, you know, if you didn't show up for something or you missed the last family events or you never call, you know, they're trying to encourage you. That's what a church family does. And it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Now, it's kind of hard if you're out there worshiping God in the trees on Sunday and said, this is my church. You know, there is no assembling of selves together. There's just one person out there. They use that as an excuse because they want to release themselves from this responsibility that the Bible says that they assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as ye see the day approaching. So this is the idea why people encourage one another to go to church, is because the Bible says that we should exhort one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching. So I know that sometimes people might get tired, and I'm not saying to become a pain to somebody, but I'm telling you to encourage, to exhort people to come to church is something that the Bible tells us to do. It's not something the pastor tells you, so that way you can get more people here, so you can have bigger offerings, so everything can be happy, and that's not the purpose. It's for to provoke one another into good works. It's provoke one another unto love. It's to help grow people spiritually. It's to care for one another. And praise the Lord, the fact that church is important to be a part of, and it's important to join, is because it's an environment in which to grow spiritually. Next thing, why is it important to join a church? Is it identifies me with fellow believers. It identifies me with fellow believers. I don't know about you, but I like being part of the church because it puts me with you, my church family. It identifies me with that. You know, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. You know, sometimes people have this misnomer in their mind and they say, they feel certain ways or something they heard, and they hear gossip. And sometimes you knock on doors, and I go talk to people, and I invite people to church, and I'm at their house, and I'm inviting them to church, and they says, well, I can't go to your church because of this. And they say something that's completely off the wall. I can't go to your church because, and I'll give you a couple examples. He said, I've had people say, I can't go to your church because they don't allow black people to come. Or I've had Mexican people say they don't allow Latinos to come to church. I says, I don't know where you heard that from, but that is not true. We encourage, we want anybody and everybody to come to church. We're excited about any and everybody coming to church. And that is true, that we want people to come. I says, why would I be asking you to come to church if I didn't, if we wasn't going to welcome you there? And they said, okay. And now also, you know, people say, well, I can't come to your church because I don't have this to wear. You have a dress code there. And I tell them, I says, I don't know where you heard that from. I says, all we ask is for you to just come. That's what we want. Obviously, we like for you to dress modestly and it to be on the platform or to be a leader. You know, the leadership, there is some certain standards, but to come to church, No one's ever been asked to leave because of the fact that the certain thing they dress. And I tell them that, I says, we just want you to come. But to be part of a church family identifies you with fellow believers. I like being your pastor. I like being identifying myself with Faith Baptist Church because it's part of a church family. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I like being a part of the family of God. I like being associated with the people that are part of the family of God. Now you're right. Some fellow believers might not act the right way, and they might not be excited about being associated with them because of some of the things they do, but that's not the whole point. That's not the whole ball of wax. You don't stop going to church for one individual. You go to church because of the fact that you're identified with local fellow believers. Why is it important that we go to church? It allows us to have genuine friendships, healthy relationships, and voluntarily accountability. Now, this is important here. You know, the more I learn, the more I understand, the more I see, the people you spend time with are the people you become like. The Bible tells you that. He says, iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, if I like the fact that if you find the right church and you find a good church, you know what? You're going to become like the people you spend time with. Now, you can put in as much as you want to as church, or you can put in as little as you want to as your church. You know, if you can spend time developing friendships, you know, a man who wants friends must show himself friendly. You can become like people that you spend time with. But if you show up and you squeak right in the door, you don't talk to anybody, you leave with an closing prayer, you never talk to anybody, and you say, well, that church just isn't friendly. Well, it's because you don't give us a chance to be friendly. I think we have one of the friendliest churches I've ever been to, and I think it's great. I'm thankful for that. And that was that way before I ever got here. I didn't have to tell you that and teach you that. Me personally, I can only talk to a certain number of people. I love it when people come up and enjoy it. But the reason why you need to join a church is because you can have genuine friendships. I tell people all the time, get some better friends. When you struggle with things, who's your friends? Who is the people that are influencing you? Find some people who love the Lord, make them your friends, have healthy relationships, and have voluntary accountability. What does that mean? Well, it says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Now, you do not need to confess your sins to anybody. You do not need to confess your sins to a priest. You do not need to confess your sins to me. You come to talk to me and say, Pastor, I want to confess something to you. I'll tell you, look, you don't have to do that to be able to get right with God. Now, some people feel like they need to tell me something so they can ask me forgiveness because they personally offend me. That's a whole different ball of wax. But here it's saying that when you confess your faults to one another, it's referring to something you struggle with. If you want that other person to pray for you, go to them and say, please pray for me about this and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it is good to keep ourselves accountable. I ask my wife many times, says, honey, can you help me with this? I would like for you to do this and keep me accountable with this. And she does. And that's wonderful. And you should be able to have accountability. And you can have accountability amongst friends. You say, hey, look, I want to be at church. I want to be faithful. I want to be here. Pastor, give me a call when you don't see me. That's accountability, the way you can encourage one another. I want to read my Bible every day. Find somebody else and say, hey, call me every day and ask me, you know, have you read your Bible today? That's something you could do inside of a church family. That's what a church family is about. You can find genuine friendships, healthy relationships, and voluntarily accountability. Another thing is, and enables burdens to be shared and loads to be lightened. This is a great thing about the church family. You can help carry another person's burdens, bury one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, that is a great, great privilege to be a part of a family that helps one another. And we use the example of Miss Virginia. And, you know, I think that she was a special, special lady. I think most people that knew her was to love her because she gets very, very sweet. And I'm looking forward to getting to be a part of the privilege of the funeral. And I want to help be an encouragement to that family. I want to help carry the burdens. You know, our church family is helping put on a dinner for the family tomorrow afterwards. Why is that? It's because we're trying to help carry somebody else's burdens. We love Miss Virginia. We would do anything to help her family. We want her family to walk away saying, you know what? Those people loved my mother. And I know that there was many people that helped bring Miss Virginia to church, many people that did many things to be a blessing to her, and they helped carry a wonderful lady's burdens, one another. And that's what we do as a church family. That's when you give calls and cards and when someone's hurting and someone's sick, and you help provide meals, or you go over to someone's house and fixes something, and they think this is what's part of being a church family is. It's bearing one another's burdens. Why should you want to be a part of it? It's because you should want to be a part of something where you can help someone else. We've gotten so self-centered in our life, so self-absorbed, that we think we got to look out for number one, and that is just not found in the Bible. That is not found in the Bible. Instead, the Bible is encouraging, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so, Christians, if you're here today and you're a church member, be asking yourself these questions. Am I really a good, healthy relationship, have good friendships in this church? Do I really help share the loads for others and help lighten the loads for others? Next thing, build a prayer net. The reason why you should join a church, because it builds a prayer network for mutual intercession. It builds a prayer network. You know, you say, why in the world are you part of a church? Why in the world do you? Because I know that within one, I can make one phone call, and then I know that there someone else is going to call four other people, who's going to call, you know, 40 people altogether. And then I know that within an hour that I can have 40 different people praying for my prayer need. I don't know about you, but that works in my heart. I don't know about you. That's something that encourages me, is that I know that when I have a need, I know that when I had my mother was sick this past, you know, weeks ago, and she was in the hospital, I mentioned it, that I can almost guarantee that everybody here that Wednesday night was praying for my mother. I don't know about you, but that helps me. I hope that helps you. And I hope that you can say, hey, that's something I do. That's something I want to be a part of. That's something I want to see somebody do. When I have a need, when I have a prayer need, I want someone to be able to go to the Lord on my behalf. And you think about the story of Peter's miraculous deliver from prison. You know, when they were there, and the first century church, they're in that house, and they're praying at midnight or late at night that Peter would get released. And that's just intercessory prayer. There's a value of it. There's a powerful testimony in the Bible. I want to be a part of a church so that way I can be a part of a place where I can have people pray for me, but so also I can pray for somebody else. Because it doesn't go one way, and it goes both ways. And I want to encourage you that being part of a church and joining a church means that you build a prayer network for mutual intercession. I was referring to our prayer chain, that if you're on that, you know, there's different captains, and the captains call the people, and people pray when they have a need, and I am thankful for that. I know not everybody can be a part of that, but I tell you, I'm glad we have it, and I'm glad I know it, and I'm glad I'm able to pray for people, and glad to help pray. In Romans 15:30, Paul asks, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He's saying, I need you to pray for me for God's sake. He says, I want you to rally around me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to lift me up. And I want you to be seeking God's face, not for my own sake, but because you love the Spirit and because you, for Jesus Christ's sake. And so that's the idea. He's going to be praying for himself, but also he wants others to pray. And that's, I covet your prayers. I love to think that you pray for me on a daily basis. And I try my best to pray for you on a regular basis, daily basis at times. And that's what I'm excited about, is the fact that we can mutually together go and pray for the needs of our church. Next thing. Why is it important? It serves as a place for me to bring others so they can hear the gospel. You know what? You should be able to bring, you want to bring people to church. You know, you want to bring your mothers, your fathers, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. I love it when I hear a grandmother say, hey, my kid got saved at Kids Crusade. Or my child in the back, you know, got saved. Or you love to see when somebody we've been praying for a long time walks the aisle and gets saved. Or you hear about somebody getting saved on visitation. It's being part of a church is a place you call your own, a place where people can pray for you. But somebody you can say, hey, can you come to church with me? And they might not know why. But you know deep inside they need Christ and you want them to hear the gospel. And if you're here this morning, this church is here to be able to present the gospel. There are people that are dying and going to hell, and the church is here to be able to pray, and not only to pray, but to present the gospel that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again for your sins. And in just a little while, we're going to have an invitation. We'd love to have somebody take the Bible and show you beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you died today, that you can go to heaven. You can do that today. If you've never, ever been saved, let me encourage you to come forward. And that's because this is what the importance of having a church. So you can bring people. Not everybody is eloquent enough to be able to explain it one-on-one. I think you can. I think the Holy Spirit of God can help you, but everybody can invite somebody to come to church and say, hey, look, can you come? And you can pray, and you can say, and you can get others to pray. And just one phone call, you could get others to be praying for you that so-and-so is coming to church, they need to be saved, and I want you to pray with me. I can guarantee you that a number of people would be more than glad to come alongside you and help you pray for that. Next thing, why is it important to join a church? Places me under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. Places me under the spiritual protection of godly leaders. There are certain things when you come across the Bible that I wish that I didn't have to talk about. I wish there were times when he talk about pastoral authority or things like that, that I wish that somebody else can come in and talk about that because it's talking about my position. But it's in the Bible, and we just got to be honest that one of the reasons why you join a church is so someone else is looking out for you. The Bible says here in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that much give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. What the Bible is saying is in a spiritual sense, in the spiritual things, as a pastor, I have the responsibility of overseeing the church, I have a responsibility, and that someday I will give an account for you. I will give an account of what you did according how you live, but also give an account how I took care of you as a pastor, as I'm called the under-shepherd. I take care of the flock, and I try to take that seriously. If I see something going on in your life, I think what the Bible's saying there is I should encourage you and help you. I'm not talking about getting into all your personal business or expecting to know every little detail of your life, but spiritually wise, I am there to try to be a help to you and an encouragement to you. The Bible says here in Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. That's the point, is there. I am an overseer. I am there and I will give an account for you. Sometimes people will tell you that, the pastor, we pay your salary. You should do what we tell you to do. That's not what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me I'm an overseer. The Bible tells me that I'm the one that actually has to be in charge. And once again, we're set up to where it's not that I can have some type of power control. And the way the church is set up is that in that idea that it's there to be a blessing for everyone. But that's what the spiritual authority that the Bible gives a pastor. And that's when you become a part of a church, you put yourself underneath a godly leader. And that person is there to help you go along the way. And so that's another reason why it's important to join a church. Another reason is it provides a means to honor God financially by supporting a local church in world evangelism. Yeah, I knew this was coming, Pastor. It's about money. That's all it's about. You notice I put this towards the end because some people believe that. Some people get this mind. And I still talk to people that says, all the church is out for is out there for money. You'll see tonight when we have our business meeting. We're going to have an informative business meeting, show how we've done in three quarters. Every penny is accounted for. Everything is out in the open. And everything is done according to what we consider decently in order. No one's getting rich off the church. That's for sure. And that's God has intended for us to use our finances as a way to support the local church. He's the one that instituted tithe. He's the one that instituted offerings. It was not a pastor looking for a big salary. Now, there are pastors out there that abuse their position, and they are guilty of filthy lucre or greedy of filthy lucre, and the Bible warns against those, and we should be on the lookout for those. And that's why we try to be as open as we can when it comes to our finances. Look what it says in Philippians 4, 17, 19. Not because I desire a gift. This is Paul talking. He says, not because I desire a gift. He says, I don't want you to give more and give more so that way I can benefit. He says, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. Now, here's the thing is that and when it comes to your giving, it's not because of the fact that I want you to give me a raise or because I want to give a salary or because I want to make the church all decked out, but it's so that way fruit can abound to your account. It is best, God will bless, if you give your finances over to God. That means tithing the way the Bible talks about. It means giving offerings as God speaks to your heart. It is not trying to wiggle your way around and trying to convince yourself, I do not have to do this or that. This is what's best. And that's what I want. I want fruit to abound to your account. I don't get up here and preach and teach and do things just so that way I can get a paycheck. I do it so that way you can be spiritually helped. And the way you can be spiritually helped in your finances is by tithing. And the Bible talks a little bit more about there at that last verses, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you're going to have to do things God's ways before he's going to take care of you. You're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to be obedient. A couple more things and we'll be done. It creates an opportunity to discover and exercise my spiritual gifts. You know, the local church, and why you want to join a church is because it helps you discover, it helps God to work in your heart and work in your life so where you can discover and exercise your spiritual gifts. What's a spiritual gift? Well, we don't have time to get all in that, except for the fact I'll tell you this, that God gives each of us a gift that we can use for him. Every one of us have something. Some of us have multiple ones. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 gives you a little bit of explanation about this. The church is composed of many different types of people who, with the Lord's help, are united to create a uniquely gifted body of Christ. Here's the key, is that God gives each of us a gift, and as we all working, as we all are serving in some capacity, then God comes into one unique gifted body. Now, when some do not do their gift, we had to plug in other people who might not be as talented at that. But you know what? God's going to provide. And being part of a church means you have the opportunity to discover and exercise your spiritual gifts. I love the fact when there's people who can sing, they get the opportunity to use their gift. I love the fact when there's people who get the opportunity to teach, work on a van route. There are different, you say, what do you mean discover? I tell you, when you get involved and start serving, you'll realize you have certain talents and abilities that you never thought you had. And I think it's amazing how God can open doors and can work in your lives. How does that begin? It all starts with joining the church and then allowing God to use you in different areas, and you open up all the different avenues what God might have planned for you. Now, when you don't join a church and you don't get involved, then guess what? You'll still say, boy, I wish I could do that. You never know what God can do. Let's look here in Romans chapter 12. Let's look here in verses 6 through 8. It says, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, what it's all saying here is saying that you do these things, and there's a long list, and look at what it says in verse number 9, let love be without this dissimulation. There you go. And it's talking about don't fake it. When you got something to serve, just go ahead and serve to the best of your ability and let God take care of all these things. He's gifted people in this room, but there's some people who just won't serve. They just choose not to be a part and choose to sit. And we still want you to come, don't get me wrong. We don't want you to leave because you're not doing anything. We want you to come, but you're missing it. I want you to give. I want you to serve. I want you to do these things so fruit can abound to your account. It's what's best for you. It's where the blessing begins. You say, I don't understand why people go to church and they join a church and they get involved. You should try it. You should try to see how God works and moves in your midst and how God can help you. I tell you, the greatest times in your life can be times when you're living and serving the Lord. Last but not least, it connects me with something eternal and more significant than myself. This is a connection that God started, and it is more significant and is eternal than yourself. The church is more important than us as individuals. We as a group make the church, and we as a group, a body, a local called out body of believers, make up the church. It's not this building. It's not the pews. It's us. But there's so much more than the individuals. You're attached to something eternal. You're attached to something that is significant and more significant than us. You might say, boy, I wish I could do something that would make a difference. I wish I could do something that could accomplish more than just getting a paycheck and buying a house and driving a car. And through the church, you have the opportunity to do things that are more significant than us personally. And this is amazing that when you serve and you help win people to Christ, you help disciple people for Christ, you are doing things that have eternal values. You can go out there and you can build up a beautiful house. You can build a great big shed. You can have nice cars. All those things, when you die, they're gone. No more benefit. Maybe for the people you're leaving behind, that's great. But when you have a church and you're part of a church family and you serve and you discover the gifts that God's given you, you are connecting yourself with something that is eternal and is more significant than what we can accomplish in our own strength. So here's the key. You know, why do you need to join a church? What's important? Church, what's the big deal? Why is it so important? It's important because who the head is. It's Jesus Christ. It's important because of the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to shed his blood for it. It's important because of the fact that it connects you with something that's important and eternal. I tell you, you can make a difference in your own bank account, or you can make a difference for eternity. What are we going to do? Listen to that poem I started off with. It says, "There shall be a place," and I believe the house of God is this place. "There shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there." This is the place where God has put his name, the house of the living God, church of God. "In a world of darkness, there should be a place where one can go to find the light of life." That's here. This is the place where a person can go to find the light of life. "There should be a place where the seeking can find understanding, the hungry heart can find manna from above, and those bound by sin's chains can be set free." That's what church is supposed to be, a hospital for those that are sick. "Those that are in need that can find it, they're seeking after God, they will find it at church. With volume and vice on every hand, there should be a place providing refuge for the weary soul." This is a place where you can find rest for your soul. "There should be a place where holy things are still holy." And I believe that with all my heart. We don't need to allow the world into our church. You know, if God says it's holy and it remains holy, it should remain holy. And I don't feel bad about that. I don't compromise on that. I don't apologize for that. The Bible tells us we should be holy. "Things are holy, things are still holy. The worship of God goes beyond cheap imitation of what the world already offers." And that, I tell you, that's what we have a lot today, is that the churches are becoming like the world, and that's nothing more than just a cheap imitation. They already have that. You can go anywhere else. But the house of God should be a place where people can find the refuge they're looking for. "There should be a place of sacredness, sanctuary, and service in a world that is profane and self-absorbed. This place should be a place where God is still great. His ways are higher than our ways. A place where thanksgiving translates into thanksgiving. A place where Christ is high and lifted up, and his scriptures are sufficient." We don't need somebody to try to explain us with today's philosophies. The Bible is enough. "Is there such a place to be found? Are there such blessings to be had? Where should we look? What should we expect? How shall we know? There is a place for all the above. According to 1 Timothy 3:15, it is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Say, "Pastor, where do I take this message today?" It's a little different than what Sunday morning's messages usually are. It is. But what do I do with this? Number one, if you're here today, you're unsaved, Jesus Christ shed his blood for you so you can go to heaven. If you were to die today and you're not sure if you would go to heaven, please come forward. Let us have somebody take the Bible and explain to you how you can have everlasting life. Secondly, if you're a church member here today, realize the value you have as a church member. Commit yourself to your church wholeheartedly, that you want to love the Lord, you want to serve the Lord, and this is a precious place to you where you can bring people to hear the gospel, where you can, in just a phone call away, you can have multiple people praying for you. Just all those different things we talked about today. Be thankful for your church. Pray for your church. Is it perfect? No. If it was perfect, and when you joined it, it wouldn't be perfect anymore, because no one's perfect. Last but not least, if you're here today and you've not a member of the church, pray about it. See what God would have you leave. Faith Baptist Church is not for everybody. Like I said, we ask that you have the same like-mindedness when it comes to things. And you say, "What's that mean, Pastor?" It means that we believe the Bible here. And, you know, I can, if someone's willing to believe what the Bible is going to say and what the Bible says is true, we can get along just fine. But if you want to be somebody who doesn't want to believe and agree on the Bible and want to argue about the Bible or want to try to cause things to change, then, you know what, this might not be the place for you. Do we want people to join? Yeah. Do we want people to be here? Yes. But we're not going to compromise on the Bible. This is it. This is it for us. And this is what we're going to go by. But if that's something you want to agree with and you want to be a part of a church like ours, we'd be glad to have you. I always like to talk to the people ahead of time and hear their testimony so I can get to know them. I always like to hear the testimony of baptism and things like that, all those different things, so I can get to know you and so you can get to know the heart. But next people, as they come and talk to me about joining a church, these are things I'm going to give them in written form to help them understand. This is what a church is. This is what a church family is. Don't just join so you can get some benefits out of it. Join so you can be a part of something. Something that is more important than ourselves. But instead, something we can do eternally. Are you putting your part in? Let's go ahead and pray.